Welcome to another episode of From the Depths with Dr. Shimon Blau, based on Rabbi Ephraim Ushri's Shalas Etshuvos Mimamakim, Questions and Responsa from the Depths. This series contains depictions of atrocities committed by the Nazis, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. On the 8th day of Mar Cheshvan 5702, October 29th, 1941, a major action took place in the Kovno ghetto. More than 10,000 people were taken away to be butchered. Young, old, men, women, and children. Almost all of them suffered horrific deaths after being tortured physically and psychologically by the merciless butchers. Some of the survivors of the action asked Rabbi Ushri on the 13th of Mar Cheshvan whether they were obligated to recite the blessing of HaGomel for God's mercy in allowing them to survive. The blessing of HaGomel is a special blessing that a person is obligated to say if he is saved from a dangerous situation. The text of the blessing is as follows: Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hagomel Lechayovim Tovos Shegemelani Kol Tov. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the Universe, who bestows good things upon the guilty, who has bestowed every goodness upon me. In Yiddish, this is called benching Gomel. The survivors of the action wondered that on the one hand, they had survived an action and owed God a debt of gratitude. Yet on the other hand, they were still not out of the Germans' hands and still imprisoned within the ghetto walls, which were surrounded by an electrified barbed wire fence with armed guards standing ready to utilize their machine guns on anyone who got too close to the barbed wire. The question was, do we regard these survivors as not yet having been released from their troubles, in which case there would not be an obligation to recite the Hagomel blessing, or do we say that since they were saved from definite death at the same time that thousands were put to death during the action, they were obligated to recite the Hagomel blessing? Before getting to Rabbi Ushri's response, I would just like to add that this is a blessing that is made by Orthodox Jews to this day in certain circumstances, such as traveling overseas or surviving a particularly dangerous situation, such as a car accident. It's also made in any of the circumstances that we'll discuss in Rabbi Ushri's response. It's traditionally said in synagogue in front of a minyan, a quorum of 10 men, on a day that the Torah is read, such as Monday morning, Thursday morning, or on the Sabbath. Rabbi Ushri begins his response by quoting the Gemara, the Talmud, in Tractate Brachos, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, 54b, which says as follows. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, four types of people must give thanks, referring to the Hagomel Bracha, the Hagomel blessing. Seafarers, those who go through wildernesses, one who was ill and recovered, and one who was incarcerated in prison and came out. The Gemara then goes on to quote multiple verses from the Torah to show that in these instances, there is an obligation to give thanks to God. Rabbi Ushri points out that two of these are not like the other two. With regards to somebody who is sick, it says specifically, Vinisrape, and he healed, he recovered. With regards to somebody who is in prison, it says Vyatza, and he left prison, he was released. Only in those situations is the person obligated to make the blessing of Hagomel. However, with regards to somebody who travels over the sea or through a midbar, through a desert, it does not say that the obligation to make the blessing only applies after they've reached dry land or gotten out of the desert. The implication might be that somebody who is traveling overseas or through a desert, who is saved from a dangerous situation during his travels, might be required to make the blessing while he is still traveling before he reaches his destination. However, the Rambam, Maimonides, in the 10th parak of Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Ches, Halacha 8, did not actually rule this way, and specifically added words that the Gemara left out in order to clarify this. The Rambam says as follows, there are four people who are required to give thanks, a sick person who recuperates, somebody who was imprisoned that is let out of prison, someone who is traveling overseas, Kisha'alu li'abasha, when they go up to dry land, V'holchei derachim kishyagiu li'yishuv, and those who are traveling once they reach a settlement. Rabbi Yosef Karo in Shulchan Aruch, or Achayim Simen Resh Yud Tes Sif Aleph, ruled similarly to the Rambam, to Maimonides, that somebody who is traveling overseas only becomes responsible to say the blessing once he's reached dry land, and similarly, somebody who is traveling through a midbar, through a desert, is only required to say the blessing when he reaches a yeshuv, a settlement. Based on this, there is actually no difference between somebody who is sick or in jail and somebody who is traveling overseas or through a desert. In all situations, the responsibility, the obligation to say the blessing of thanksgiving only occurs once they are saved from the sakana, from the dangerous situation that they're in. Rabbi Ushri says, though, that the opinion of the Rambam and Rabbi Yosef Karo doesn't really seem to fit with the inference that he made earlier, that just based on the Gemara itself, it would seem that if somebody is saved from a dangerous situation while traveling overseas or while traveling through a desert, even if they have not yet reached their destination, there would still be an obligation to make the bracha of Hagomel. Furthermore, if somebody traveled overseas or through a desert and did not have any specific dangerous situation occur, they would have an obligation to say the blessing of Hagomel once they reached dry land or a settlement. He then quotes from the Sefer Yad HaMelech, which was written by Rabbi Elazar composer Landau, this is a commentary on Rambam, who stated that for those traveling overseas or through a desert, there's no obligation to say the bracha of Hagomel unless some sort of sakana, some sort of dangerous situation occurred during their trip and they were saved from that situation. In that case, they're obligated to make the bracha, the blessing, immediately, even while they're still traveling overseas or through the desert. However, if absolutely no dangerous situation occurred while they were on their trip, there's no obligation to say the bracha even once they get to dry land or reach a settlement. This is obviously not like any of the opinions that have so far been presented. However, Rabbi Eliyahu Shapiro in Eliyahu Rabbah disagreed with the opinion of the Yad HaMelech and stated that if somebody is saved from a dangerous situation while traveling overseas or through a desert, they should wait until they reach dry land or a settlement, at which time they should make the blessing of a gomel. But unlike the Yad HaMelech, the Eliyahu Rabbah felt that the obligation to make the blessing only occurs once they reach dry land or a settlement, and not during their travels. Rabbi Yashri then says that there's another inference from the Gemara in Brachos, which would lend itself more towards the opinion of the Yad HaMelech, which, once again, is that if somebody is traveling overseas or through a desert, there's only an obligation to make the bracha of Hagomel if he is saved from some sort of dangerous occurrence, and that the obligation to say the bracha of Hagomel is while they are still traveling. The inference is as follows. Rabbi Yashri points out another difference between the cases of somebody who is sick and recuperates, or somebody who is imprisoned and is released, versus somebody who is traveling overseas or through a desert. With regards to the former, the Gemara uses the past tense, somebody who was sick and recuperates, somebody who was imprisoned and leaves. However, with regards to somebody who travels overseas or through a desert, the Gemara chooses to use an expression of Lashon Hoveh, current tense, by stating, Yordei Hayam, those who go down to the sea, meaning seafarers, Holchei Midbaros, those who travel through deserts. This would lend itself to the opinion of the Yad HaMelech that the only time there's an obligation to say the bracha of a gomel for somebody traveling overseas or through a desert is if they are saved from a dangerous occurrence which occurs during the trip, and that the obligation occurs during the trip as well. But that there would be no obligation to say the bracha of Hagomel if somebody travels overseas or through a desert without any incidents. He then says that the Sefer Stechemed, written by Rabbi Chaim Yecheskia Medini, as well as the Sefer Orchas Chaim, disagreed with this opinion of the Yad HaMelech. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, the Chafetz Chaim, also disagreed with the opinion of the Yad HaMelech and wrote in the Bir Halacha that the previous inferences can be answered as follows. The reason why the Gemara uses the present tense in describing those who travel through the sea or the deserts and doesn't use an equivalent past tense as it does with those who were sick and recovered or those who were imprisoned and released is to teach us that those who are constantly traveling overseas or through deserts would still be required to make the blessing. If the Gemara would have used the past tense, we might have thought that the only time somebody is required to bench Gomel would be when they travel overseas or through a desert just one time, because they don't have any further intentions to do more traveling. However, somebody who travels overseas constantly might not need to make the bracha, even if they find themselves temporarily on land. We might have thought that somebody who finds themselves on land after traveling overseas or through a desert, who plans to travel again within the next day or two, might not need to make the bracha. And for the same reason, the Gemara leaves out the term alu, that they came up from the sea, or that they reached a yeshuv, a settlement, after traveling through the desert. This is all in order to teach us that even if somebody travels constantly and they have immediate plans to travel again, they would still be required to make the bracha of Hagomel. Rabbi Yashri then quotes from Sefer Eliyahu Rabbah, Siman Reish Yates, that somebody who is traveling by boat and stops in a port for a day or two does not need to make the bracha of Hagomel until his voyage is completely finished. This opinion is also advanced by Sefer Orchas Chaim and Sefer Ateres Zekanim, who writes that the bracha of Hagomel is only made once the goodness that Hashem bestows upon somebody is complete. And it is for this reason that the text of the bracha is Gamalnu Kol Tov, which thanks God for bestowing upon us all the goodness. Likewise, he quotes from Sefer Lev that somebody who is traveling by boat and visits cities close to the port with plans to continue traveling on should not make the bracha of Hagomel until he reaches his final destination. This is also the opinion of Sefer Bircha Yosef and Sefer Mor Veshemesh. He then quotes again from the Bir Halacha, who wrote in the name of the Megan Avram, that even in the case of somebody who is imprisoned, the only time the person would be obligated to make the blessing of Hagomel would be if he is imprisoned on a capital offense, meaning that his actual life is in danger. He adds that the Stechemed brought in the name of the Pesach Hadvir, Rabbi Yaakov Raka, that this very question was dealt with regards to somebody who is sick. If somebody's life is in danger because they are sick, but they recover from one particular illness, the Pesach Dvir ruled that if the person's life is still at risk because of illness, it becomes a suffolk, a doubt, whether or not there would be an obligation to make the bracha, and there is a dispute among the rabbis whether or not one would be obligated to say the bracha. He therefore ruled that the person should not make a bracha, because the general rule is that we try our best to avoid any blessings made levatala in vain. Based on all of this, Rabbi Ashri ruled that the remaining Jews in the ghetto were not obligated to say the blessing of Hagomel. This was because they were still in a state of grave danger just by living in the ghetto. Who knew when the murderous Nazis might decide to kill them as well? It was the habit of the Nazis to eliminate the Jews piecemeal, to confuse them and delude them with false hopes, leading them into even greater despondency. Rabbi Ashri writes that time and time again, there were rumors of salvation which planted hope in their hearts, which were only met with being taken out of the ghetto to be murdered. There are certain instances where there might be a suffix, a doubt, whether or not to make a certain bracha, a certain blessing, and the rule is that somebody might say the blessing without using the Shem and Malchus, God's name, and mentioning his kingship. Said Rabbi Ashri, the Jews were in such a grave state of danger that they should not say the bracha even without using Hashem's name. Despite there being some moments of temporary salvation, such as being saved from a particular action performed by the Nazis, and even if they had been saved from multiple actions and roundups and murders of their Jewish brethren, Rabbi Ashri ruled that they were not to make the bracha of Hagomel so long as they were still confined in the dangerous ghetto. This has been From the Depths with Dr. Shimon Blau. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to listen to more. Music by Dexter Britton.